Okay, hi. So welcome to the Credentials Community Group at W3C. Today is Tuesday, July 13th. My name is Wayne Chang. I will be moderating this meeting. Anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. Ensure you have a W3 account and make sure you sign the contributor license. These minutes and an audio recording of everything said are archived at the GitHub. We use IRC to cue speakers during the call as well as to take minutes. You can use the Jitsi chat as well, which is linked to the IRC. All attendees should type present plus to get your name on the attendee list in the transcript. For Jitsi users, it's automatic. In IRC, type Q plus to add yourself to the queue with an optional reminder. If you're not in IRC, simply ask to be put on the queue. And please be brief so the rest of the queue can get a chance to chime in. You can always requeue yourself. This meeting is held by voice, not by IRC. Off-topic IRC comments are subject to deletion from the record. We work hard to manage a single thread of conversation so everyone can participate and be heard. Please respect the group process by joining the queue when you have something to contribute. So at this point, we need a volunteer to scribe. I see that Juan has pre-volunteered to scribe in the email thread. Juan, is that still the case?
Yaka.
Okay, thank you so much. So we're going to move on to introductions and reintroductions. Is anyone new to the community and would also like to introduce themselves? Feel free to cue yourself or just start speaking up.
Hello, this is Andre Kudra. I'm from Isatos AG. We are an information security consulting and product company in the SSI space.
Hi, this is my first time joining. I'm Danny Johnson. I'm at Spruce Systems. I do operations there. And so I just thought I would listen into this call. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Danny. And thank you, Andre. I think they're, Danny, are you able to hear Andre?
Not so far.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Oh, I can hear you just fine, but I think there might be an issue with someone's, Danny, you might want to try a different browser. I think that could help, but there seems to be an audio stream missing for your client.
Yeah, I wanted to conclude my statement. I'm here as a guest. I was asked to present ID Union, a project here running in Germany, and also the Bundeskanzleramt pilot projects here in Germany. So that's the reason why I'm here in this call today.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate that you're coming to talk about those topics, extremely relevant to what folks here are working on. I think everyone's really excited to learn more. So we appreciate your time. Does anyone else, would anyone else like to introduce themselves to the community? Okay, reintroductions. Would anyone like to reintroduce themselves to the community? If you started a new project, changed jobs, or just haven't showed up in a while, would love to hear from you. Kalia, you're on the queue.
Sure. I'll share that. My most recent kind of big engagement has been co-chairing the interoperability working group for Good Health Pass, and yay, hopefully next week our deliverable will be published and work can move forward there. But I also wanted to just note something that I shared on the list, which is the Department of Homeland Security is doing rulemaking around mobile driver's license, as it has a pretty extensive RFI, request for information, that they put out that's due at the end of the month. And it might be something for this community to explore, or even just individuals in this community responding to and saying, I look at the verifiable credential standard because we think it's better than the MDL standard. So just wanted to surface that.
Thanks so much. Extremely relevant. and congratulations on your turn. Any other reintroductions? Okay, moving on. Announcements and reminders. There are no announcements and reminders. I do believe the new IIW has a set date now.
The next one's October 12th to 14. It's always been that date. It just became virtual for sure. And then there's two special topics IIWs since we're on the IIW topic. User experience coming up June 22nd and the business of SSI on August 4th.
Great. And IIW, for folks who aren't familiar, is the Internet Identity Workshop, where a lot of community members and other ecosystems who all care about digital identity get together and can talk at length about any of the topics you hear over here, and a bunch of other ones too. So if you're trying to get more exposure into the breadth of the ecosystem and even dive in on some topics, it's an excellent place to go and highly recommended. They also tend to work with you if you really want to attend, but have some limitation scheduling or things like that. But Kalia is probably one of the best people to reach out to talk to that. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, especially around accessibility. If it's too expensive, talk to us. We'll help you come.
Thanks so much. Moving on, progress and action items. We have a new chair, as mentioned, so we will be starting to figure out better coordination and possibly adding new action items and resolutions, but for today, there's no immediate thing to review. And now we can move on to Andre Kudra's presentation, founder of ESATIS and key organizer of the ID Union Consortium. And we'll hear about two different federal projects in Germany, the ID Union Consortium that grew out of the Economic Ministry Showcase Project and the Federal Executive Ministry Independent Research into Credential Use Cases for End Users. So super excited to have you, Andre. Thanks for coming, and it's all yours. There's a present functionality if you have any slides.
Thank you so much for having me. I will share a screen. You should now be able to see the presentation about ID Union. I will start with ID Union and then move over to the Bundeskanzleramt project. So I hope Great. You can see the screen.
We can see it just fine and hear you clearly. Thank you.
Excellent. So ID Union is a project which is co-funded by the German Federal Ministry of Economic Affairs. It's part of the so-called showcase projects of secure digital identities. It's one of ultimately four projects, and ID Union is the one who is very to its core self-sovereign identity. There's 15 or 16 core consortium partners, which you can see here. So Main Incubator is the consortium lead. They are a subsidiary of Commerzbank, hence Commerzbank logo is also here on the page. In general, it's these 15 organizations being funded or co-funded by the federal ministry, because all the organizations, not the research oriented ones, are receiving the funding. However, they also have to bring their own money with it. We have also a long and ever-growing list of associated partners who also will work on use cases within ID Union. However, they are not eligible to funding directly from the core funding from the ministry. We are also working on extending a list of contributors. This is still work in progress. So we are, as we were swamped with requests for being associated partners, we said we have to come up with another mode to kind of support organizations who want to be in our ecosystem to some degree. And hence we came up with a contributor state, but this is currently being worked on. In general, this is, actually preaching to the choir. We are an SSI project. We are based on distributed ledger technology here in that regard. We are working with Hyperledger Indy technology underneath. What is interesting is that ID Union is, even though it's funded by a German ministry, it's targeted at a more European audience in general. So the whole organization setup is planned to support European use cases and European organizations. In general, it's based on what you're all familiar with, SSI, verifiable credentials, with a wallet app, and with a DLT network to anchor certain trust elements. And as a key piece, we have the holder, issuer, verifier relationship, and this is all controlled via standard wallet app. And what's important, and this is most likely what convinced the ministry to choose this project as eligible for the 3-year funding period, was that we already in the pre-phase where there were 11 projects, we already created some substantial things that were visible. So we created a test network, which has grown to the setup that you see here as status of March 2021. We have already established this test network and built the first use cases already in this pitch phase. And this was probably very convincing for taking ID Union as being eligible for funding for the full 3 years. We have a couple of components actually available from consortium partners. So you may have heard about the Lissy solution set, which has also a wallet app. You have maybe heard about our Esatus wallet app. And this is obviously for the end user side, but we also have certain components already available on the backend side for institutions like the Lissy institutional agent, our Esatus, formerly called Self. The product's now rebranded to Soul. The presentation will be updated, and the business partner agent from Bosch, Daimler, and Siemens, and the Sferity Cloud Identity Wallet. All these components obviously are to some extent intellectual property based for these organizations. However, they can be used for the wallet, for the interaction use cases and the wallets which can interact with all these solutions. In general, ID Union is not only a project, but is also an initiative to create a legal entity for running the network in the production state, which means that we are planning to create a European cooperative, which is a real European legal entity type, which means that the operations of the network will be governed by this legal entity. And this is currently still in planning. The contracts are being finalized in meetings, which happen basically every week. We are very close to final state with all the contract work and the governance model. So, when we come to the timeline, we will see how this is planned to be continued in the next month to the year end. So, you have already seen we have a very broad range of use cases covered in all these sectors that you see here. Obviously, as it's a state or government-funded project, public sector use cases are obviously mandatory, and they should be usable for everyone basically on a daily basis, so not really rare ones that you don't need every day or every week. So they are very keen on seeing use cases that are very practically relevant in the daily lives of the citizens. Education is obviously a big thing, financial industry with all the players in the financial sector that we have there, and broad range of use cases. Actually, everyone is very keen on interoperability. The storyline around that and the pitfalls that we have there. However, everyone is very keen on working with the standards institutions around the world to make it interoperable. So you see that we have explicitly listed also W3C as relevant body to work with and interact with. So I very much appreciate the chance to present this to you today. And in general, I think we have a great chance here with this project to basically reach a lot of people with all the organizations that are here involved. In the implementation roadmap, we have planned to create the European cooperative this year and have a production network next year. For my taste, it could be a bit faster, so I would be very pleased if we had a production network already this year, but let's be realistic here and build the trust frameworks for everything that's required for these use cases as we move along. Wrapping it up, so we have, and I did mention that, so the runtime of the project is 3 years, I mentioned that, but not the volume, so we are co-funded with 15 million from the ministry, which is the money that we get from the ministry. However, the organizations, which are not academic ones, have to bring the same amount as well to the table. So 15 million come from the government and 15 million come from the organizations who are involved in the project. And yeah, I think we have a very interesting lineup of use cases and obviously also working on a stable base of the technology. And as soon as we have the production network, we will also declare them more like production as well. However, the network is running stable and rock solid and is already integrated with the wallets and the backends that are available. That's it for my briefing for ID Union. And before we move on to the Bundeskanzleramt initiative, I would like to open the round for Q&A if you have questions.
Great. So at this point, the speaker queue is empty. Please queue yourself if you have a question. Toltad, does that attempt to queue yourself?
Yes, sorry. Just quickly, is there a link available to that slide deck?
I think we have all the relevant information on the ID Union website. I can check if I can send this to you so you can distribute it to the community.
That'd be helpful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for your question. Adrian, you're next.
Yes, the list of participants, very long list. How many of them represent a consumer product? In other words, it's nice that you're adopting and leading, maybe even in the SSI sense, but where is the self-sovereign subject represented in this work? And I'm particularly sensitive to the point you made that sort of this is a European effort. It tends to be a different situation maybe in the U.S. or in other parts of the world. So I'm curious if you would address that.
Well, from an architectural perspective, obviously everything is tailored around the principles of self-sovereign identity. So I've brought up the use cases list again. So I can comment on a few, and you can tell me if this answers your question. So one use case which we are personally involved with is, for example, Tafel Langen, which is a project that works with an organization which is state-sponsored as well, which supplies groceries to people in need. So they have to prove their eligibility by various documents, and they have to reapprove and all these things. So we have completely self-sovereign identity transitioned this process. So in fact, they can now work with the documents that are issued by the state directly to their wallet app. And when they go and pick up their groceries, they just have to present the proof that the documents are in order, and no more paper hassle around there. Obviously, in the education space, we have worked with all the use cases, you know, diplomas and so on. We are working, and this is again a project we are directly involved with. We are working with a couple of schools to create a student wallet, which basically holds all the necessary documents that students, parents, and teachers have to exchange for basically going on a field trip, are agreeing on certain things that the students can do at school and so on. So this is another one. And from a classic perspective, what we also do in the identity and access world is use verifiable credentials to sign on to applications or even get building or perimeter access with verifiable credentials. So basically, this is all tailored around the possibilities that are presented with SSI mechanisms. So I think everyone who is involved in from a use case perspective has the SSI trust triangle in the back of his head always when tailoring these use cases. So I think getting the end user empowered with the data he controls herself or himself with a wallet app is core to everything that that ID Union does. Does that answer the question, or is that going in the right direction?
No, it doesn't actually get to the consumer perspective on what's going on. But I think I've made my point. I'll be quiet.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Okay, Andre, would you like to continue?
Wayne was in the queue.
I don't see anyone in the queue. But if someone would like to ask a question, go ahead. Yeah, Andre, would you like to continue?
Yeah, I've just noticed that the auto-recording mechanism in the chat has made 50 million out of the 15. Maybe my pronunciation wasn't too good. So the amount that is granted is 15 million, and the organizations that are involved have to bring the same amount. So just to make that clear, if you want to work with this chat recording.
Thank you for the correction. Yeah, let it be known, 15 million. Thanks.
All right. So then we can move on to the other big self-sovereign identity initiative in Germany. And I'm leveraging slides that I have been given from the German Federal Chancellery. They are also very eager to present the work that this is ongoing. So I will share the slides here. So the guy who is responsible for all the international exchanges and updates and so on is usually this guy Sebastian Mannhardt, who has provided me with these slides. I'm leveraging these slides, so these are direct slides from the German government. I'm obviously not a representative of the German federal government. I'm just presenting to you what's going on in the space here. I have permission to share the slides and show the slides, but obviously they are theirs. So maybe going on, so everyone is aware that Ursula von der Leyen, as president of the European Commission, has stressed the importance of digital identity. And this is very helpful to that regard that we are working with the new way of digital identity in Germany as well. So completely based on self-sovereign identity mechanisms, as you will see as we go through the update. So this is one of the key slides that have been used basically from the beginning on of the project, which was kicked off in December. We'll come to that again. So actually everyone from the government who is involved in the identity project perceives that the personalized credentials should be available for the users digitally, and they should be able to control them with their wallets. And in fact, they have a very strong vision of interoperable European digital identity, and they want to create an ecosystem to facilitate this which is open, which is based on open source standards. And again, you will note here that they are referring to technical standards and joint infrastructure for digital identity systems in Europe, and which are comparable to W3C. So actually, they are seeking the updates and the exchange with the W3C community. So thanks again for having me here on these topics. And actually, it's a strong cooperation project between public and private sector, and this is also one of the success stories behind this. Actually, this can support Europe in various dimensions. So actually enforcing and respecting the data and privacy standards. It can actually enforce or support interoperability and optimize adoption with the SSI capability, and the existing European EID infrastructure will remain and can be integrated in the self-sovereign identity approach. And as you have probably seen, the new regulation, the new proposal for the eIDAS EID regulation in EU coming out, it's very very supportive of self-sovereign identity mechanisms, which is very good for everyone in the area. So again, here it leverages a vision which obviously is not reinventing everything afresh, but integrates the building blocks that are already out there. You will also again see here W3C SSI standards. So this is also a pillar and building block of the whole European ecosystem for digital identities. So this is kind of the European twist to that. However, this was also very strongly pushed and jump-started by Angela Merkel in December last year, when she basically called 18, 19 C-level executives of large-scale German companies, as you can see here on this slide, to a meeting to talk about digital identity. And she basically put out the urge that something needs to happen for Germany and Europe in the space of digital identity, and everyone was in agreement. And something very very good for the SSI community globally happened to my judgment. They jump started a project right away based on that meeting. So they left the meeting and everyone agreed we will do a pilot series of self-sovereign identity use cases, and we will start now. And this was in December, and something which is very I think surprising and unconventional, they started from the German Federal Chancellery this project right away. And basically, the Federal Chancellery is running the project from a project management perspective, together with a consulting company and technology companies. So we are also directly involved in this project. And the first thing that they did is they created this kind of public-private cooperation, which is driven by the German federal government, but completely supported also by the private sector in these different company and sectors and use cases. So they are very very strongly working together on this, and this is in fact a very successful endeavor so far, as we have successfully launched the first pilot use case already in May. And this first pilot use case is the hotel check-in for business travelers, which works, as you can see here, twofold. So at first, you will get something that is called a Basis ID. It would translate to base ID, but the right term is Basis ID, which is basically a copy in a verifiable credential of all the data that you have on your personal identity card, which we have in Germany, which is completely eIDAS compliant means of identification in also an electronic form. So the Bundesdruckerei, who's issuing the Personalausweis, but how it is called, is creating a copy as a verifiable credential in the wallet of the person as a Basis ID. And with that, you can fulfill your legal requirements. If you check into a hotel, you can present the Basis ID with all the hotels that are cooperating, and they will not present you a form to sign on paper. However, this is for business travelers, so that the sector credential that the organization, the people get who are working in the organizations who are part of the pilot, they get a company address credential, which they also can present at the hotel check-in, so that the company address is the invoicing address, which is presented at the invoice when you check out. So they have basically these two credentials from the start in this pilot round to present to the hotels who are participating in that pilot. And this is actually live since mid-May. So there was a press conference with Dorothee Behr, who is the state minister for digitalization. And a couple of press releases went out. And since then, I think 200,000 employees could use this for their business travels. So actually, not so many business travels these days as we used to. However, all these organizations have rolled it out, and the people from these organizations can, in fact, work with this use case. However, this will also continue and is integrated in a bigger initiative. So there is much more use cases, or many more use cases planned, and the integration with the existing identity projects is also underway. So there is already a project driven by Bundesdruckerei, which basically leverages the secure element in the smartphones to have a real Personalausweis. The same algorithm running in the secure element of the smartphone. And the other one is obviously integrating with the Schaufenster, the showcase project's secure digital identity, of which ID Union is one. So they are integrating all the efforts in the SSI space also with existing initiatives like the ID Union initiative I presented before. And I will show one more slide, which is basically what is happening until year end. Give me 1 second to switch this here. So till year end, actually lots of action is more planned. So they will scale up the national SSI system. They will align with other key players in the European ecosystem. They will obviously integrate the IDAS regulation and comment on that. Engage with political decision takers in the member states to get high-level political commitment to everything, and to design and plan cross-border SSI pilots. So all these pilots that are already underway are German pilots. However, actually, you could envision that hotel check-in is very, very good also for cross-border use cases. So everyone is keen on working on further use cases which are also cross-border. Right, so enough said. Thanks for your attention, and again, opening the forum for Q&A.
Great. Does anyone have questions? Juan, I can scrap for you. Juan. Can't hear you if you're talking.
Sorry. I was just going to mention that I posted a link here to a slide deck about the ID Union on a more technical level if people don't have sort of high-level business or policy questions. I know this is a more technical crowd. Hakan, Andre's colleague from ID Union, gave a presentation on sort of interop roadmap, the place of, you know, the VC spec and the bid spec in the roadmap. That might be a link to generate more questions if we run out of questions. thanks.
Yeah. Andre, I have a question to myself. what is the best way for people from the W3C ecosystem? What's the best way for them to get involved with IDEM?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So actually, what my favorite path would be that we set up some kind of a forum within ID Union to basically allow international collaboration to happen. So currently, I think everyone is trying to sort their work streams out and get on track and get the first deliverables out. But I think in general, and I will strongly vote for that or see that we can get that happen, that we have an international collaboration forum for ID Union, because I think we have seen tremendous interest from all over the world, basically from all over the world. Organizations reached out and wanted to become associated partners. So this is obviously not easily possible, but having international collaboration and an engagement model for that is definitely something we need. So look out for it. I'm happy to come back and present it when we have it, but this is definitely something we're working on.
Thanks so much. Adrian, you're on the queue.
So in the US, at the very least, we've had pushback on digital identity from, folks, for instance, like EFF. And in the case of applying digital identity to pandemic-related things like testing or vaccination, we've had pushback from the federal government and some states. And I'm curious whether there's an equivalent controversy brewing around digital identity in Europe.
Yeah, well, this is a difficult call to make from either black or white. So actually, I think we have lots of discussion around any type of data protection. And we have even fronts claiming that data protection is hindering the remediation of the pandemic and that everything is drowned by data protection concerns. So I think we have a very heated debate in all areas. And I think in general, what people currently neglect is that they are already very transparent from a digital identity standpoint. And we, and also what you see here from the government, want to present a way out of this kind of completely controlled and dependent state. And as the in-depth knowledge of all these matters is not broadly applied, to try to phrase it politically correct. So we are always among ourselves in the identity or even SSI community, and we know hopefully what we are talking about, but the general public is not so deeply involved in that. So for them, it's always the same. And what they hear is, well, data protection is hindering from us from getting well, and digital identity is something which will control us in the end. But having a sensible discussion on ICE level is hard to obtain. So this is kind of my mixed feelings I have about this. I think we have a very heated debate, but people are very much used to having a government-issued identity, and they rely on the mechanisms being available. They rely on government doing this well with the identity. What they are not relying on is having a good digitalization process of government services, because they are close to non-existent these days. So I think everything that we can make better for citizens in terms of having more efficiency that they are used to from their personal lives, and making their life, a digital life, a little bit more secure will be appreciated. And if you look at the, and then I will close the statement. If you look at the election programs of all the political parties here in Germany, you know, we have election coming up in September. So for everyone, cybersecurity and digital identity and data protection and privacy are key points in their election program. So if you look at this, I think everyone has understood there is a key need to get this better sorted and get alternatives which give a little bit more digital sovereignty than we have today.
Thanks much for the answer. Are there any other questions? Okay, so the queue is empty. And if there are no more questions, then Andre, thank you so much for your presentation. Would love to hear any parting words from you or thoughts that you might have. Thank you again for coming to the CCG and presenting.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me and listening and tuning in. So I obviously have used quite some of your scarce meeting time. I thank you very much for being interested. I hope it was some useful for you, and I will happily come back with more news if you want to have me again. So thanks again for being interested.
Appreciate it. And that concludes the rest of the meeting. Looks like we'll be ending a bit early. Thanks everyone for your attention, and talk to you next week. Oh, Adrian, you've queued yourself.
If we have time, I would like to hear more from about the mobile driver's license issue that Kalia brought up and shared, whether you know what, I don't know the details and I'm curious, and also it would be good to know whether we should be doing something in an organized way relative to those comments as a group. And so it seems like if we have a few minutes, this is the right place to raise that question for the group.
I think that's a great point. Kalia, would you like to respond?
Sure. I'm happy. I think I posted to the list yesterday, so hopefully folks can pull that up and use that as a reference for the discussion. There's two links in it, one to the original RFI and one to the notice extending the RFI. There is an extensive almost like preamble to 13 questions that they ask, or maybe it's 14. It's a lot of questions. I cut and pasted all of the questions, but not all of the preamble. One thought that's coming to mind as I'm saying this is perhaps, we take the preamble and put it in some kind of format and annotate it. There's an annotation tool called Hypothesis that is good for group annotation and sort of collective sense making of things as a precursor to trying to, if some people wanted to write a collective response. I have a pretty full plate this month, and I'm also trying to get other groups to respond to this as well. So I'm happy to contribute, but I don't want to lead an effort to write a response, but would be super excited to participate. Happy to answer. I mean, I know it's about as much as you do with the RFI. I did go to the public hearing that they hosted. It was very sparsely attended. But the mobile driver's license people were there. Jay Stanley from the ACLU, who wrote a very excellent report that I'll put in chat, criticizing mobile driver's license and particularly critiquing a function that we don't have in our architecture, which is the phone home to the issuer, which is embedded in the standard. So basically makes it potentially that every time you present your driver's license, the DMV knows, which is somewhat problematic.
Thanks for your response. Juan, you're in the queue. You're muted.
Sorry. I was just going to ask, the MDL standard is an ISO, right? I was actually just going to ask our guest if ID Union has any official position on it, or if there's any sort of research work in there about that use case.
I believe our guest has departed, so perhaps we can send you off.
Sorry, Dad.
All right, Adrian, you're on the queue again.
The way Kalia presented it earlier on was that this was a challenge to the standards work that we're doing in W3C.
Yes, Kalia, MDL.
Can you give some color to that? So in this context.
Yeah. The mobile driver's license standard has been, and now they're trying to go, oh, well, you can use it for anything. So they built a kind of rapidly iterated thing called MDoc. And it's been developed in ISO, which is only available to national standards bodies themselves. And I can't figure out the ins and outs, but certain corporations also have access. So I know that some companies in our community have seen it because they talk about seeing it and having, so it's, this is my own personal interpretation. It sort of was driven by companies who are in the conventional identity document issuance business who don't want to lose that business. And it's somewhat captured by that incumbent industry. And it's from the starting point of focusing on mobile driver's licenses. You have to install a government issued app on your phone to use it, is my current understanding of how it's deployed. And, it's, not a verifiable credential. It wasn't designed with an expansive frame or set of use cases. It was designed with a very specific, narrow, intended use. I'm complete.
Thanks for your response. Heather, you're on the queue.
Great. Thanks, Wayne. You guys able to hear me? I think so. Okay. So I wanted to query the community because it sounds like this is an interesting topic that potentially our community could make a statement on. And that is something we've done in the past. However, that is run as a work item. And so there's kind of, I guess, two questions I have here, or a question of potential, way of going through doing this is, if we want to make a statement on it, or I guess the first question is, do we as a community want to review and make a statement on it? So that's one question. And then two, how would we do this? And so it seems like, I mean, like, I haven't read this, so I don't really feel like I can make much comment on it. So I don't even know what I think about it yet. But it makes sense to make this as, make an upcoming CCG call or some other call or a separate call where, we come to the call either having pre-read this with some comments, and we discuss as a community what kind of comments we might want to make, or what kind of more formal comment we from the CCG would want to make as a comment. So, and if that's the case, then as we run this as like a work item, we need to have two co-owners to lead that. And if this community is interested in doing that, who would be interested in leading that process? That's my end of comment. Yes, and thanks, Mike, for commenting that we have 10 days to prepare a response. So, I mean, like, this would have to be fast. We have, as a community, done this before. I think it was, like, one of the NIST ones. So,
it's, yeah. It's due July 30th.
Okay, so we have, like, a little bit more, but still not a ton of time.
Thanks. I think we can maybe query the mailing list and bump the thread if there are any interested folks who can work on that timeline. I think David Chadwick left, but if so, I will skip him. Mike, you're in the queue.
Yeah, I was going to say the reason I gave 10 days is that's likely the amount of time we have to review, get consensus, and actually get something drafted to still leave ourselves a day or two to review and run by parties before sending out. I mean, this is something I'm highly concerned about, so I am happy to take part. I don't know with bandwidth how much time I can dedicate to writing, but I could probably dedicate some. So, but yeah, mailing list is probably the right place for this, unless someone wants to dive in the last 7 minutes on some of this topic. I think first order would be, we would need to have some kind of consensus that we do actually want to make a statement before taking any next steps.
Yeah, can I come in on this? I'm on the queue to speak.
So
I am the BSI rep to the ISO mobile driving license work, and I've been that for a couple of years now. And the first challenge I had was to respond to the draft international standard ballot. And my response to it was, this doesn't support verifiable credentials data model, and it should. And I provided changes to the standard detailing how it would be very easy to incorporate the verifiable credentials data model into it. I also presented that to the CCG at the time, and I said what they've got are a good set of protocols. We don't have any protocols for verifiable credentials, but we've got a good data model. What they've got is a good set of protocols, but they don't have a good flexible data model. They've got a proprietary data model. And so I wanted to get the two groups together so that we could use the generic verifiable credentials data model with the MDL protocols. But this group was just not interested. Okay, they were not interested at all. However, what the ISO group were interested in doing was incorporating the verifiable credentials data model in. And that will be in version 2 of the standard. It was not accepted for version 1 of the standard, which is coming out shortly, primarily because of the Americans, because most of the states in America were wanting to go ahead with MDL. They already had some pilots running, and they had incompatible pilots running, and there was a big, strong push from ANSI that get this standard out so we can actually all have the same standard format running. And so that's what's happened. That unfortunately, the first version of MDL will not support the VC format, but the second version will. And also, this question about the back channel, that was, I was highly critical of that, and so were other people. And so they're looking at the OIDC COP model there, which eliminates the back channel. And so they're actually keenly aware that the back channel does violate the user's privacy. So that's my two penneth on the topic for now.
Thanks for chiming in on that, David. And Adrian, back to you.
David, a quick question. Is this a standards organization issue where ISO and wants to keep the standard out of the sort of community access, free open source software, blah, blah, blah model? Or am I overstating the issue around these protocols and the protocol development?
Well, the problem is because it's a formal standards body, it has its own formal processes, just like every other standards body. And the formal process is that countries are the member bodies, and therefore, you know, it's if you're a member of ANSI, you can participate. If you're a member of BSI, you can participate from the UK, etc. That's their model of working. And when the standards are released, unfortunately, they're not often released free of charge. They're often released, you have to pay for them. So that is a big criticism of them. But they have in the past released standards free of charge for people to implement. I mean, the most common standard that everybody implements today, well, there's a lot of them actually, but X509 is one. I mean, everybody uses X509. Every website uses X509. That came out of the ISO, joint ISO ITUT standards. And I worked on that back in the 80s and 90s. So, you know, they have got some good examples of wide take-up. They've also got some atrocious examples of wide take-up because at that same time they worked on the X400 messaging system, which was a complete failure, and SMTP ruled the world. So they don't have they have a checkered history of success.
Self-sovereign identity, ha. Anyway, thanks.
Oh, there was a question from Khalila in the chat, actually. And it was said, Jason, I think she was asking, is it going to be Jason LD or Jason? Just Jason, but with the app context. So it will be interoperable because, as you know, the W3C standard accepts JSON and was written so that people could implement it with just JSON as long as they accepted that context property. Also, it uses JOTS, JWTs for signing, so that again is compatible.
Thanks for the input. And thanks again, Adrian, for kicking off this discussion. If people do want to collaborate on a response to the MDL as the community, I think we should continue that in the mailing list and solicit any interested parties. I think that's all we have time for today. Thank you to our scribe, Juan, for the excellent notes. And then I will see everyone next week. Thanks again.